Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Dave Franklin. Dave is the general manager of Redwood Curtain Brewing Company. Dave, can you tell me a little bit about how the name came about, Redwood Curtain?
Yeah, Redwood Curtain was meant to be the representation of the area, kind of tied to being behind the Redwood Curtain, having exploration behind the Redwood Curtain. It's kind of a multi-purpose thing. It's tied into our logo as well. I mean, the Redwood Curtain would be that area outside, was it Garberville, where you kind of hit the redwoods at first. And, you know, the whole phrase, things move slower behind the Redwood Curtain.
It's kind of putting a positive spin on it, because I've always heard it used negatively, like, oh, we're behind the Redwood Curtain. You know, that's not going to happen up here. But now you've kind of turned it around and
We like that identity of being behind the Redwood Curtain. It's, you know, it's kind of tied into our logo, which you guys can't see, but it's behind two trees and you're kind of heading into something and discovering a world behind that.
Now let's talk about your brewmaster. Who's your brewmaster and how did he start making beer?
Our brewmaster is Drake Malberg, who is also the owner of Redwood Curtain. He got all his training on the job. He learned how to brew while working at a brewery, at our brewery.
Wow.
So he's just been busy for a year and a half, just brewing 3 to 4 times a week. And I think he's just getting better and better at it.
So when he does brew the beer, how does he test the alcohol content of beer? And is there a legal determination of what is the correct alcohol content?
So determining the alcohol content of beer is relatively simple. It all goes to the process of how beer is made. And what you start with is basically sugar water, and then you introduce yeast to it. And that yeast is a little microorganism that eats the sugar and poops out alcohol and burps off the CO2. I know, that's what you're drinking. The yeast is converting the sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide. So what we do is fairly simple. We measure how much sugar is before the process and how much sugar is in the final beer.
Is there a legal requirement in California of what percent alcohol is required for it to be a beer? And is there a maximum?
There is not. You're kind of limited by the overall yeast health. Yeast will not be happy over a certain percent alcohol. It starts becoming toxic to them. There's an analogy to be made about humans there, about converting what they eat into garbage. And at some point, the environment becomes toxic for the yeast and they're unable to function anymore. So there is an upper limit to how well your yeast will perform. And so our yeast generally top out around 10% alcohol. That's the highest that we can get through fermentation.
Okay. That seems really high. Is that high compared to a commercial beer?
A little bit. There are some styles that tend to hit that level. You hit barley wines and some Belgian styles, triples and quads, that'll hit that higher point. There are higher performing yeast strains that'll get you a little bit higher than that. After that, you need to start doing some fancy things to get the alcohol content higher.
Fancy things.
Yeah.
Okay. How long does it take to make a batch of beer?
That varies by the style of beer and what we're looking for out of it. Our shortest beer will take about 3 weeks. Our longest between 6 to 8, if not longer. There's a process of letting it sit and letting it fine up and get clear and letting the flavors mix. So some beers will take a little bit longer. We've always honed to a philosophy of not releasing a beer before it's ready. So we will let beers sit until they're just absolutely happy and we're happy with them to serve.
There's a lot of tasting that goes on at your place.
There's a lot of tasting. Quality control.
Quality control. You get paid to taste beer. That's a good thing. Now, do you bottle any of your beer?
We do not currently bottle any of our beers. We currently distribute in kegs to about 50 restaurants in between Lolita and Trinidad. But if you want to take our beer home with you from the brewery, you can either drink it there and take it home inside you or in a growler. We have 2 sizes of growler that you can take home with you. We have a 32-ounce growler and a 64-ounce growler. Those will generally keep between 3 to 5 days if they're sealed and cold. After that, you're looking to see some degradation, carbonation, and some quality. Once they're open, you're looking to drink that pretty quick, between a day or two.
Okay. And how important is water in making beer?
Water is like the terroir of a wine to beer. Water is going to be that underlying thing that's going to be in all your beers that give it the character of the place. So we use Arcata City water, and that's going to be part of our identity in some way, in a way that a certain soil will be important to a Rhone varietal or another type of grape. So beer that's brewed with the same recipe somewhere else may not taste exactly the same based on that water.
I've heard people say things like a New York pizza is like the way that it is in New York because of the water, the city water of New York City. And so the same thing sounds like it's true of the beer.
Very
that's brewed here.
I've also heard of breweries that in say Hawaii that will treat their water when they brew it on the mainland to try to emulate the water of Hawaii when they brew that on the mainland U.S.
Uh-huh. And try to introduce some of the minerals or things that would naturally occur in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Huh. How is Redwood Curtain beer different from large manufacturer beer?
Our beer is different because of the quality of ingredients involved. We start with a really high quality malt. That's the backbone of beer. We're very malt centric. We believe that that is the backbone. That is the main structure of your beer. So we start with a really high quality ingredients. We also use a lot of love. Mm-hmm. We also brew small batch beer, which is going to have that minor variation between batch to batch, which you look for. There's also that overall focus on small batch, high quality beers.
Right. And I think the idea that you're tasting it along the way and you're not just saying it goes for X number of hours and then it's done. And I'm sure in a manufacturer system like, you know, one of the major brands, that's what happens. You know, it's like cookie cutter sort of food.
On some level, yeah. I mean, you're always striving for that consistency. Mm-hmm. So on some level, cookie cutter is a good thing. In the same way, when you go to a nice restaurant, you're looking for that meal to be the same way every time. We're looking to make the same beer every time. Being a small batch brewery, we do have some minor fluctuations. Not much that's detectable to the public, but very minor variations. And we also have the ability, the freedom to do more styles, more different stuff, to try new things as we desire.
What sorts of things might you put into beer to flavor it?
We really stick with, you know, four main ingredients in beer: water, malt, hops, and yeast. That is the four ingredients in the majority of our beers. Very rarely will we introduce anything else.
And what are the malts?
Malt is barley that's been allowed to germinate and then stopped at some point in the way by the addition of heat. So it's basically a grain. In the same way a baker would use flour, we use malt.
What do you do with the spent materials after the beer making is through?
That's a good question. It's a challenge for many breweries because you end up with pounds and pounds and pounds of spent malt. We have a couple local ranchers that we've partnered with, and they pick up our malt and feed it to some very happy cows.
I bet.
Yes.
There's a little alcohol content left in that malt.
There's no alcohol in it. It's just malt that we've extracted the sugars off of, but it is very sweet grain and they're very happy for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where do you source your ingredients?
We source the majority of our malt is from Gambrinus Malting in British Columbia. It's a small maltery. Ideally, we'd use, you know, really high-quality German or Belgian malts. They're slightly cost-prohibitive, and we're also just not comfortable with the carbon footprint of shipping that much malt from overseas into our beers. So we look for the highest quality we can find closer to home, and that would be British Columbia. We do get specialty grains from Germany, Belgium, England, as we need them. Many of our hops are from Oregon, Washington. We also get some from the Southern Hemisphere as well, some from Australia that we really like to work with.
Okay. And then you're not bringing in all that glass to bottle and sending that out either. So you're
That's
kind
correct.
Of saving on that too.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of your stuff is put into kegs that are then sent out to restaurants?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you brew your beer on site. Where's your location?
We are located at 550 South G Street in Arcata. It's a little bit out of the way. It's a little bit hard to get to. We feel like it's worth it. You get to earn your beer when you finally find it. It's down beyond the Fire Arts Center, beyond the scrapyard, across the street from the marsh in the Bayside Industrial Complex.
Well, you have a lot of good landmarks there for people to follow to find the place.
It's a great way to finish up a nice walk in the marsh.
Now, I know that you serve those lovely little goldfish with your beer, but mm-hmm. you've actually made some partnerships with some of the local food trucks, and you actually have some food trucks arriving on site too.
Yeah, we love the idea of working with members of our community. We have two local food trucks that we work with, Nature Serving, which provides really delicious Mediterranean food, as well as the Wandering Weenie Wagon.
no way.
When I first met her, she said, "This is the name I'm thinking of. What do you think? Is it too silly?" I said, "The sillier, the better."
Really?
People will remember this. And she makes these great bratwursts and hot dogs and sausages. She gets a lot of her meat from Pixie down in Lolita Meat Market, as well as some specialty stuff. In the past, she's had elk dogs and bison dogs and alligator dogs. So she's always interested in trying new and different stuff. We have them down 6 days a week.
It's match made in heaven there.
It's fantastic. The beer and the brats and the Mediterranean and the beer just go so well together.
That sounds great. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've been speaking with Dave Franklin from Redwood Curtain Brewery. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.